glory, for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, but also for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way, departed from the way of the Lord. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They're swallowed up. They're overcome of wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Now listen, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so there's no place clean. What is the prophet saying? What is the Lord saying there? Well, if you'll turn to Romans 9 for a moment, and let me deal with it in this manner. The nation Israel was blessed above all nations. Blessed above all nations. Not a nation on the face of the earth blessed like Israel. And here's a resume. Here's an inventory of their mercies and blessings. Chapter 9 of Romans. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, the nation Israel. Now watch this. Number one, to whom pertaineth the adoption? God's nation. He made them his nation. He put a difference between them and other nations. He said, the Lord God loved you. You weren't the greatest or the most in number. You were the fewest of all. Started with Abraham. When they went down into Egypt, there were just 70 of them. Few in number, but the Lord loved you. To them pertaineth the adoption and the glory. What's that talking about? That's talking about the very glory of God dwelt in their tabernacle. Right in the midst of the camp of Israel was the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat. And over the mercy seat, the glory, the Shekinah glory of God was in Israel. In Israel. Dwelt with them everywhere they went. Led them by day with a cloud, by night with a pillar of fire. To them pertaineth the covenants. Covenant with Abraham. Covenant with Moses. Covenant with David. Sure mercies of David. To them the giving of the law. No other nation had the law. God gave the law from Sinai through Moses to Israel. The services of God. The holy days. The feast. The Day of Atonement. All of these were given to Israel. The washings and the promises. Whose are the fathers? Isaiah was a Jew. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, David, Moses, all of them. And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. He was born of the tribe of Judah. of a direct descendant, Mary, of David. And his foster father, Joseph, was a direct descendant of David. They were a blessed people. And yet, even with all these advantages, all these revelations, all these blessings, they departed from God. He says, they're gone out of the way. They've erred. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. They've gone out of the way. Now, here's a key, verse 7. The word wine here is used, but it's just a figurative speech. It's just a figure. The word wine here stands for worldliness. Worldliness. And here's what he's saying in verse 7. They've erred through being taken up with worldliness, with the world. Give us a king like the other nations. Give us this like the other nations. They followed the other nations. Through strong drink, they're out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They're swallowed up in worldliness. They've departed from God. And they're just like the other nations. Paganism, heathenism, worldliness. Swallowed up. Swallowed up in worldliness. It's like King Solomon turned to Ecclesiastes 1. He tells us about it here in Ecclesiastes 1. Listen to it. It says here in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes, I said in my heart, go to now, I'll prove thee with mirth. Underscore these words that I bring out here. Therefore enjoy pleasure. Pleasure. Behold, this also is vanity. And I said of laughter, gave myself to pleasure, mirth, laughter. I said finally, it's mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself to wine, to drink food, the best food, the best one. Read sometime Solomon's table and what was on that table every day. I gave myself to drinking and eating. Eat, drink, and be merry. That was his philosophy. I acquainted my heart with wisdom. I delved into the mysteries and the intellect and all these things. Gave myself to wisdom and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the souls of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their lives. What shall we do? What shall we give ourselves to? I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens, orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made pools of water to water therewith the woods that bringeth forth the trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me, saved up silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men and musical instruments of all sorts. And I was great. Swallowed up worldliness. And I increased more and more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever my eyes desired, I took. I kept that back not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the portion of all my labor. Then I looked all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor I labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there's no profit under the sun. And that's what he's saying here about Israel in verse 7 of Isaiah 28. They're swallowed up. They're swallowed up with worldliness. And here's the results. Now listen, verse 8. And all their tables are full of vomit. filthiness, so there's no place clean. In other words, what they took in is what they threw up. What they took in through the ear gate and the eye gate, that's what they threw up. It was vomit and filthiness, polluted all the tables. What are the tables here? What are the tables? Well, there's a table. There's a table of government. Have you ever heard them say, now, if we can get this nation to come to the table? You've heard that, haven't you? Come to the table. What's it talking about? The table of compromise and decision and planning and discussing the direction. If we can get them to the table. But here, when they came to the table, there was no wisdom on it. No vomit and filthiness. All they had to serve was what they had in them. What they'd taken in, they threw up on the table. Another table is the family table. If you read back here in the Old Testament scriptures, families were gathered about a table when they had their meals. And when they came to the table, the father taught the children. They discussed values and principles and scripture and the things of God. And the children were taught and the Lord was praised and thanked. There was a gathering of the family around the table. But here, their table was covered with their vomit. The junk from the world. That's what they discussed. The trash, filthiness. They lived in this. They moved in this. They existed in this trash, and that's all they knew. That's what they talked about around the table. No cleanliness, no joy, no praising God, no freshness and refreshing, just vomit, filthiness, worldly filthiness. Where's the table? Thirdly, there's the Passover table. And he said the priest has swallowed up. And even the table of the Lord is unclean. And what they're serving the people is not the blood and the blessed hope. It's what they think. It's what they've studied. It's what they've considered. It's what they've contemplated. It's the world in which they live. And when they come to the table, that's what's on the table. What they've taken in is what they throw up. And that's what our people are listening to the priest are fed on. And then the fourth table is the table of the prophet. That's where the children's bread is supposed to be served. Clean bread. Joyful bread. Bread from heaven. I'm the bread, Christ said. Moses gave you not that bread. I'm the bread. But when the children come to the table, to be fed, it's the vomit and the filthiness. It's all the prophet's got in him is what he's taken in for. He's swallowed up with the world. He's got no time to study and prepare. He's got no communication with God. He's left God. And all of it is filthy. No clean place. That's where they were. Swallowed up in worldliness, and all their tables of government, of homes, of priests and prophets. Nothing on the table but what they've taken into themselves and threw up. The tables were defiled. What was on the table came from the bellies of human thought. Came from the filthiness of false doctrine. No place was wholesome and godly and honoring to him. It came from the table of human will and human wisdom and human ways. And you know, when I read that, I thought, is not this our country? This country, America, no nation, now think about it a minute. As I saw this, I saw us. as I saw Israel and how they were blessed, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the gospel, the services, the Passover. No nation on earth has been blessed with the Word of God like this nation. With the gospel in the past, with the revelations of God, with revival. And now here we are, and we're swallowed up in worldliness. Compromise. Are we not? Isn't that true? We've departed from God, from the way of the Lord. And our tables, government, the tables of most family circles, God's never discussed, the scriptures are never discussed, the things of God are never presented. The worldliness, and the table of the Passover and the priest and the prophet. And we're not only corrupt ourselves, we're corrupt in the whole world. What's being exported out of this country? It's movies going all over this world. It's television programs. It's music. It's religion. It's nothing but vomit and foolishness. It didn't come from God. It didn't come from heaven. It didn't come by revelation. It's coming out of our mouths, the world. And what's coming out of our mouths is what we've taken in, what we've, this nation has given itself to so very long. Greed and vanity and corruption and foolishness. We're serving the world from our tables, especially religion. And what they're coming to the table and finding is vomit, filthiness. No clean place. That's sad, isn't it? That's what he said about Israel, and unfortunately, that's what he says about America. Well, verse 9, not everybody. God's got a people. All right, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, true knowledge? Whom shall he teach the knowledge of God, the true God, the living God? God of mercy and grace, sovereignty. Whom shall he teach the knowledge of Christ, the glorious gospel of his mercy and his grace and his love? Whom shall he teach the knowledge of divine truth and the gospel of salvation? Who is desirous to receive such knowledge? Who wants to leave the table of filthy, fleshly, corrupt, worldly vomit and filthiness? Come to the table of the Lord. Who? Look at the next question. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? The word doctrine there is hearing. Hearing of the word. Not what some men think of the word. The word. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And to whom shall he give an understanding of the word? Isaiah asked that. He said, Lord, what a day. Who hath believed our report? Is anybody going to believe it? To whom is the arm, the power of God revealed? Anybody? Anybody? In this whole nation, is there anybody interested in true knowledge and the hearing of the word? Yes. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. There's some babies. There's some babies. Our Lord rebuked the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, and he said, oh, if the mighty works which had done in you had been done in Sodom, they would have repented.
But it would be better for Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. And then he stopped and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, I thank thee, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent and the worldly minded and the intellectuals and the human will and wisdom and ways people, and you've revealed it to babes, them that are weaned from the milk, them that are drawn from the breast. You've revealed it to babes. They'll receive knowledge of Christ. They'll receive the hearing of the word. The word will be heard, because he said in the next verse, we're going to put it out. We're going to put it out like children have to have it. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. See the repetition? That's where you have to teach children. A, B, B, C, C, A, B, C. Tomorrow, A, B, C. Don't you have to teach them that way? Repetition. Over and over. Same thing. Simple. Clear. Plain. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Here it is again. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little, learn a little today, and a little tomorrow, and a little the next day. This is the way children must be taught, babes must be taught. One rule, then another rule, until they've gone over all the rules. One line, then another line, one little lesson, then another little lesson, one day and then another day. Paul said over here in Philippians, talking to that church, he says to them in Philippians 3, he said, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, Philippians 3, to write the same things to you. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. The same things. Christ glory, Christ deity, Christ incarnation, Christ righteousness, Christ blood, Christ death. To me, that's not grievous. That's no burden. For you, it's safe. And that's the way he says we give the word here to babes, to children. In verse 11, with stammering lips, and another tongue will he speak to this people. I know he's talking about he's going to speak to the Jews by men of other nations and other tongues. But I'm telling you this, every little child of God to whom he speaks, he sends them a teacher with stammering lips. That's right, earthen vessel. A voice in the wilderness. Who are you, John? Just a boy. Don't amount to anything. Just a boy. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and listen to Paul here talking about himself. He says here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, we don't preach ourselves. I determined to know nothing among you. Jesus Christ the Lord. We don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Verse 5, 2 Corinthians 4. And ourselves your servants, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We just stammering tongues and trembling lips and weak vessels and clay pots, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. And go back to the text, Isaiah 28. And these Jews heard this gospel. In verse 12, he said, to whom he said, to the Jews he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. That's Christ. This is the refreshing. This is the bread from heaven. This is the water of life. But they wouldn't hear. They wouldn't hear. Our Lord said about them, let me read it to you. Over here in John 5, he said about them, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me, that you might have life. He said to them, this is the rest. This is the refreshing. It's Christ. But they wouldn't come. He said, let another come in his own name, and him you receive, him you follow. With his vomit and filthiness that comes out of his own bowels. But I come from my Father, and you won't receive me. They come with their message, like a dog returning to his vomit, or a pig to the wallow. You follow it. But I come from God, and you won't hear me. They won't hear you. The message was despised. Look at verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, making fun of it now. They are. You just preach the same thing. It's too plain, too simple, too repetitious. Give us something else. Give us some cleverness. Give us something to challenge us. Give us something to do. Give us something to hold to. Give us something to see and to feel and to touch and to hear. Make a noise. All you do is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. And they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. Won't hear the gospel. Won't hear the gospel. But I'll tell you, Ezekiel told us something over here. The message was despised by these people. Ezekiel, listen to what he said in chapter 33 of Ezekiel. They refused the rest of God. Israel refused the rest, the refreshing. They went the way of the swallowed up with worldliness. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. I want you to watch, listen to this. Ezekiel 33, 30. Also thou son of man, and I might add earthen vessels and stammering lips, the children of thy people still are talking about thee, that's that word there, of thee, by the walls and in the doors of the houses. They speak one to another and everyone to his brother, and they say, come, I pray you, let's go to the house of God. Let's hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Let's go hear what the preacher's got to say. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear your words, but they won't do them. They won't do them. That's what he says about Israel. Oh, let's don't fall in this category. With their mouths they show much love, but at their heart goes after covetousness. They're swallowed up with it. And lo, you are unto them a very pleasant, very lovely song, the one that has the pleasant voice, play well on the instrument. They hear the words, but they don't do them. But when this comes to pass, and he's talking about this judgment, spirit of judgment, when this comes to pass, and lo, it'll come, then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. God did speak. He did speak. He says here, whom shall he teach knowledge? Little children. Those that hunger and thirst for the word, hunger and thirst for the milk, those that want to hear from him, they'll understand. But these religious folks, all you do is preach the gospel, line upon line, precept upon precept. We want to hear, the Jews seek a sign. Show us a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. All right, verse 14. Now hear the word of the Lord. These folks he's talking to now, these religious leaders, you scornful men that rule. These are the people that ruled and directed religion in that day in Jerusalem, the capital of religion. These are the religious leaders all around this world today, scornful men that rule this people which is in religion. Now listen carefully, see if you catch this. Behold, you have said, we have made a covenant with death. We made a covenant. That's backward, isn't it? We have made a covenant. We have made our decision. We have adopted our direction. And with hell, are we at agreement? We're not afraid of hell. We've made a covenant with death and with hell. And when the overflowing scourge of judgment shall pass through, it won't come unto us. We have made lies our refuge. They wouldn't call it lies, but God says it's lies. Anything that's not according to his word is a lie. Anything that didn't come from his word or from heaven is a lie. We have a refuge. Under falsehood have we hid ourselves. They said, we have made a covenant. And we have made a covenant with death and hell. We're not afraid to die. And we're not afraid of the judgment. And when it comes, we're going to be hiding in a refuge and in religion. Verse 16. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I have made a covenant. Behold, I'll lay in Zion. Zion's the church. Zion's the elect for a foundation. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32. Listen to the difference here now. These people said, we're not afraid to die. We're not afraid of hell. We're not afraid of judgment. We've made a covenant. But now here's the difference. The Lord God said in Jeremiah 32, verse 38, and they shall be my people, and I'll be their God. Jeremiah 32, 38. And I'll give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with them. That's different language, isn't it? I'll make a covenant with them. I will not turn away from them to do them good. I will put my fear in their hearts. These people said they weren't afraid. We made a covenant. We're not afraid. These people are. God said, I make a covenant with them and I'll put awe and reverence and fear in their hearts. Oh, it's not a slavish fear, but it's a fear of sonship, isn't it? It's a fear of the Lord. It's a fear of the Lord. Respect for the Lord. Honor and glory for the Lord. That's the difference. Now read on. Get back to my text here. Isaiah 28. A lot of difference here. He said in verse 16, behold, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a refuge, for a foundation,
a stone, a rock. There's a rock in a weary land. It's not sand, it's a rock. It's Christ Jesus. The Lord is my rock and my salvation. Upon this rock I'll build my church. A stone, a tried stone. He's been tried by Satan, defeated him. He'd been tried by the law, lived perfectly. He was tried by men, they said, find no fault with him. He was tried by the Father, and he said, I'm well pleased. That's what you said in your prayer, well pleased. He tried. He delivered Noah from the flood. He delivered Isaac from the altar. He delivered his people all down through the years. He's a tried stone. He's never failed. Listen, he's a precious cornerstone. To them, he's a rock of offense, a stumbling stone. But to you that believe, precious. He's precious to the Father who delights in him. He's precious to the angels who worship him. He's precious to the Old Testament saints who loved him and looked to him. He's precious to believers who embrace him, and he's precious for value and durability. He's my rock and my salvation. And he says here, he's a sure foundation. He'll never fail. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they'll never perish. And he that believeth on him will not make haste, will not be confounded here or ashamed, or in the world to come. That's the difference. And that's not vomit and filthiness from a human belly. That's the bread from heaven. That's clean. And that's pure. And that's life. And he said in verse 17, and I'm going to close, judgment's coming. And this judgment will I lay to the lion and righteousness to the plummet. In other words, I use this illustration often because I learned it building houses. Don't trust your eye. Don't trust your eye. You can look down a line and you think that's straight. But I tell you what you better do. You better put a line on it. And you can see a wall. And that thing could look plumb, but you better not trust your eye. You better put a plummet. Hang it down. That's right. And God is saying, my judgment is not going to be by human eye. I think we'll be all right. Don't trust it. I believe I'll hold up in the judgment. Don't you believe it. He's going to put the lion in the plummet, and that's Christ's righteousness. And mine won't match it, but his will. And I'm going to rest in him. He said, judgment, I'm going to lay to the lion straight. It won't vary either way. God's not going to cut any slack for anybody. He can't do it and be God. Righteousness to the plummet. I can't be God and pass by your iniquity. You've got to have a perfect righteousness. Straight as God. And then the hail is going to sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters are going to overflow the hiding place. But I'll tell you, there's one hiding place they're not going to overflow. And there's one refuge that they're not going to rout us out of, and that's Christ. He's the rock. He's the foundation. All right. May God bless that to our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, you haven't left us to this human wisdom. Thankful you haven't left us here in this congregation to what men think and what they believe and what they suppose. And the filthiness that comes out of the human mouth that goes by the name of religion. But you've given us the clean and wholesome bread from heaven and water from the rock Christ Jesus, pure, refreshing, and clean, and wholesome, and satisfies our souls. Thank you for your word. May it ever be preached. May this table never be covered with that which comes out of human wisdom and human will and human ways. But may the table always be spread with the goodness of God. Bread from heaven, the children's bread, that we may feed and feast upon our Lord Jesus Christ, and our souls might be hid in Him, our refuge, and built upon Him, our rock. In His name we pray. Amen.